Welcome to the TPN Podcast. My name is Matt. I'm here with my co-host on this wild TPN Podcast journey, Adam. Welcome, Adam.
Matt, how are you? It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk with and sometimes at our TPN networkers. I hope everybody's doing well tonight.
Yeah. What have you been up to lately? Any check-ins?
Yeah, actually, I do have something kind of interesting to talk about. I flew today and I had a wonderful 4.7 over the middle of the country as a tanker pilot. Got to refuel a few B2s. And they changed their call sign, which threw us all off. Everybody hates when that happens as tanker pilots. You're so used to something, and then something changes. Yeah, it was fun, though. Got to fly with a new guy. We have actually a lot of new guys in the Guard. So I'm enjoying training again. I'm actually enjoying being an instructor, which doesn't happen all the time in our world. We both know that, right?
Oh, yeah. I just got back from a trip flying out to Germany and Estonia, of all places, on a cargo run for the last 5 days. So that was quite the adventure.
That sounds better than flying over Peoria, Illinois, Kansas, my old stomping grounds. But you know what? I did get to fly over St. Louis and Chicago. So
nice.
Am I cooler than you?
No, but we'll talk
okay.
about
how. Yeah, you're right. We'll talk about, yeah, that'll be over beer sometime.
Yep. So I digress. So we have an awesome guest with us tonight. Mark Himmelhoe is a TPN member. He is here to talk about a book that he's writing. I think it's time, so we'll just welcome Mark to the show. How's it going?
Well, thanks.
Mark?
It's going great. I'm honored and pleased to be working with you guys. So thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It was kind of a last minute decision to record tonight, and we're really glad you could make it.
Yeah, we're really happy you could be here. It was funny getting out a little bit late, and I said, "Okay, guys, I gotta go." And they go, "Why?" And I said, "I got a podcast to record." And they said, "A podcast? What do you podcast for?" And I go, "The 8,000 plus TPNers that are right now and the many more to follow. And I got to talk to Mark about cockpit to cockpit." That's kind of where this all stemmed from, wasn't it, Mark? How did that happen?
Absolutely. Yeah. Cockpit to Cockpit is a book that I wrote, and it's a military pilot's guide on how to make the transition successfully from being a military pilot to an airline pilot. Having been through that process recently myself, one of the things that I was, I guess, a little bit shocked and frustrated by as I transitioned out of the Air Force active duty, actually retired, and began my transition into the airlines, is I just kind of assumed, I guess, that because military pilots have been getting hired by the airlines for, you know, decades, I thought the process would be very neatly packaged up and organized the way that most of the things we've done in the military have been. We kind of have come to expect that from the training courses we take in the military, that, you know, other guys have gone before us and done this, and they've provided the gauge for us to follow them through those courses. Well, what I found out in reality is that didn't really exist for leaving the military and going to the airlines. And so the process was a little bit slower and more painful, and it cost me more money, honestly, than it should have. So I decided that being the anal retentive fighter pilot that I am, I could maybe improve this process a little bit for the next generation of military pilots trying to make the same leap.
So are you thinking, Mark, or are you telling everybody out there just kind of what I'm hearing? I just want to make sure that, because I think I'm in the same boat. Obviously, I didn't retire. I was getting out much earlier. The idea came from your own experience of, well, man, what do I do next? Kind of taking a handful of darts and just chucking them at a dartboard and seeing what happens, as opposed to there's a better way. There's a more efficient way. There's a more effective way. Is that kind of what you're saying, where the idea came from? Because, man, I wish I would have had something like that when I left active duty.
Yeah, Adam, that's spot on. It really, you just kind of took the thoughts kind of right out of my head there. You know, one of the things I found out was there's lots of good information out there, but the problem is it's scattered all over the place. You hear some things through word of mouth. Some people tell you to go to various websites. There's various resources all over the place, but how do you know which ones are the good ones to trust and which advice is maybe not so good. You know, it's just not all neatly organized in a logical flow and a logical process the way it should be. And so that was, you know, one of my major goals was to organize this process, put it in a format that's familiar to pilots, i.e. we love working with checklists, right?
We know. Absolutely.
I'm not saying we love it, but.
Well,
yeah, okay. You know, if they could package how to have a better golf swing in a checklist, I guarantee that I could beat any professional golfer on the planet.
Well, for me, it would be, you know, if they could make it into a funny movie, I would have it all memorized.
yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, I think the people that read my book are going to find out that I take a lot of humor because I don't want people to think that this is just another military death by PowerPoint course. Far from it. If nothing else, you will walk away from this book laughing your ass off.
Awesome. That's the only kind of book I like to read nowadays.
But I truly believe you'll walk away from it with a lot more than that, with a solid plan for transitioning to the airlines.
You alluded to the fact that you're a retired Air Force. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you were, and if you're comfortable, kind of where you're at now and how that journey went for you.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think as a, I'm going to go a little further back than you probably were asking in that question, but, you know, I think as a kid, I was fascinated by airlines. You know, any time I got to travel on an airplane was just the coolest thing in the world. And that was just something that was always in the back of my mind that I wanted to do. And as I got old enough to kind of get serious about that process of how do I become an airline pilot, I realized that a lot of those pilots get their hours through the military, which led me into the military, which was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. Along the way, I sort of almost lost track of the fact that I wanted to be an airline pilot because I invested myself in my military career, as a lot of military pilots do. I was a F-16 pilot out of training. I was at Shaw Air Force Base for first assignment, did a year in Korea. Then I was mid-career, taken out to teach T-37s at Shepherd Air Force Base in the NGET program. Went back to the F-16 after that at Shaw, did another two tours in the F-16, one at Shaw and one as a 12th Air Force Stanovel evaluator pilot at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And then I ended my career teaching T-6s at Shepherd again in the NGET program. Toward the end of that time there at Shepherd, I had aspirations of being a squadron commander, but the writing was pretty clearly on the wall that that wasn't in the cards for me. And I kind of knew in my heart of hearts I'd flown my entire Air Force career and there was no way I was going to get another flying assignment. So, you know, the airlines were starting to hire. I said, well, you know, I think now's the time. So I started looking into making that airline transition. My transition process, as we alluded to earlier, was not the smoothest process in the world. I initially interviewed with Delta Airlines. After Delta, my next interview was with ExoJet. Almost went to work for ExoJet, but by that time, JetBlue had called me. And so I interviewed with, got a job, and actually started training with JetBlue. And right before I went to JetBlue training, Southwest had called me. So I interviewed at Southwest and ended up leaving JetBlue shortly after I started there and transitioning over to where I am now, my final airline, which worked out really well for me, living in Dallas, quality of life-wise, and it's a great personality match for me and Southwest Airlines. So it's that's probably a longer version of what you were asking, but...
Mark, I would say that's amazing how it works out. And, you know, I wish that more guys would take the advantage of saying, okay, maybe the place where I end up is the place where I'm supposed to be, not necessarily the first stop. However, I cannot concur with you enough. I think back to my younger 26-year-old dumbass Adam self when I left active duty, went to the reserves, and I said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I didn't even have my commercial done. I was that guy. I said, yeah, you know what? I'll take care of it some other time, because the party was always happening and I wanted to make sure I was there. And I think for a guy like me, I could have seen how to utilize a course like this. So if somebody would have said, dude, you need to check this out, I would have done it. What if you're not that guy though? It sounds like to me, there's more people that could utilize the ideas from this book and the impending, all the stuff that's going to come from this. Who else can grab these ideas, use them for their own benefit?
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, obviously anyone who's about to begin this transition or is already in this transition process, this book is great for, but I really wrote it from the perspective of what if I could go back in time and be that newly winged Air Force pilot? What would I do differently if I knew I was going to go to the airlines? And I put a lot of advice up front in the beginning of this book for that newly winged pilot about how to keep a logbook, you know, in a way that is going to work for their airline transition, and, you know, how to keep your records straight and keep a record of performance with all your OPRs and your medals and citations, things that are going to serve you well as you go to make this transition later on. And then, you know, how about a journalist's stories, you know, because you're going to go to an interview and they're going to ask you about stories that maybe you forgot from 10, 15 years ago. But if you keep a journal of those things and break it out later on when you're ready to make that transition, and you'll have a arsenal ready to go into that interview with.
Sure. So it sounds like a lot of mentorship and advice and things that is more or less common sense. But you took that common sense and you packaged it up into a checklist and something to follow from day one. Is it only something that applies to military members, or is that just the primary focus of the book? And I guess a follow-on question to that, is it primarily focused on Air Force, or do you think it's applicable for any of the services?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. No, it's definitely military-centric, but it is not only applicable to military. The airline hiring process is the same for a military person as it is for somebody who came up through the civilian flying world. So they could take a lot of these same techniques and experiences that I talk about in the book and apply that just the same as a military pilot could. As a matter of fact, I have a good friend who lost his currency through the end of his military career, had to go to a regional airline. And he read a draft of my book and he said, wow, you know, you should really market this to the regional airlines as well, because there's so many guys that need to read this, so many good lessons that apply to them. Piling on to the other part of your question, I do speak Air Force in the book, but I tried to research to the best of my ability all the services processes and their lingo. And I did my very best to include every services information in that book. And, you know, I do throw the caveat in there that, you know, I apologize if I didn't get it exactly right. And if anybody has feedback for me, you know, to go to my website, which is still under construction, to let me know how I can improve, you know, some of that cross-service talk.
Sure.
Well, Mark, I will say that if there's one thing pilots can do, it's figure out that cross-service nonsense that we have to deal with, because all of us have been doing it for so long. And I would even go so far as to say the way the book approaches the discussion that we're having here and the talk that is on TPN and the talk that's out there in the system through thousands of pilots all over the place is that young aviator, because let's face facts, our career is not what it once was. There's not that sexy approach. It's not the guy walking down the terminal with the beautiful flight attendants from Pan Am anymore. The fighter pilot isn't Tom Cruise from Top Gun anymore. That's not what kids see these days. And for the guy who's getting into it, they are mired down in data that's everywhere with no direction. So to me, it sounds like, hey, you want a basic how-to, you might be able to skip a few sections here and there that's applicable to just a military guy. But you could take a look at this from that 18-year-old who goes, well, I'm going to go to Embry-Riddle. Or that 18-year-old who says, well, I earned enough money slinging pizzas for Domino's, because I used to do that, that I'm going to go pay for my private pilot's license and I want to end up at XYZ airline. to me, that's exactly what you marketed towards. And for a kid, Matt and I both have talked about this before. Aviation was just, at some point, it's just what we were going to do. And I think that's how we all start off. And this book really caters to that person. It caters to the person where once you realize what it was you were getting into, this is what you've got. Now do it the easy way. Just like you do when you go fly an airplane, you do it the easy way. You don't want it the most difficult way. I mean, two of the three of us are airline guys. We got another one chasing that dream.
I'm working on it.
I know you are. And we want to ensure that. And that's where I see where I see this book really hitting that sweet spot. And I think you nailed it right on the head. And I think, not that I want to put too fine a point on it, but what can we expect if Adam Juhan, brand new, straight out of UPT, look at me, I got my wings, I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. I read the book. Does that make me the guy who, okay, now I can do this. I'm going to finish my 10-year commitment, or I'm going to palace chase it 6 years. I'm going to get out, this, that, the other thing. I mean, we can't guarantee that, right? So
yeah.
What can I expect to glean from the book so I can feel more confident in myself? I mean,
yeah, I would never try to tell anyone that there's any one way to do it best. You know, there's 100 different ways, or 200, or a million different ways to get from military to airlines. And it's all about what's right for you and your family and your personal situation, of course. But I can say that, you know, if that person reads that book early on in their career, they gain knowledge. And it's knowledge I didn't have until I was at the 19 and a half year point. And it's knowledge I wish I had at the 1 year point or earlier.
Absolutely.
Because I definitely would have shifted a few things around or done a few things differently. So, you know, even if that person never ends up deciding, you know, maybe later in their life they decide, you know what, the airlines have lost their appeal to me, but this will even help them just career transition to any flying job outside of the military. There's lessons in there that are just bigger than.
Sure.
It's interesting because at TPN, we preach information exchange, freedom for all. Let's make sure we get it out there. The one thing that we also know, and the biggest hindrance, is there's a ton of it. I wish there was 200 Matts and Adams. Well, maybe 200 Matts and only three Adams. The world can only take so much of me.
We can only handle one.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, it's just one of me and 200 Matts. We could pare down all this data, but you know what? It's not possible. It's just such a pleasure to be involved with somebody who can actually take that to that level, to actually pare that and parse that down. Because if you sit back and you try to do this yourself and you think about it in the grand scheme of things, dude, I've seen guys in my own guard unit who they try to figure it out and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. And I go, it's not overwhelming. You just have to break it down into pieces. I don't know what pieces to tell them to break it down into, because I did it my way and it didn't work particularly efficiently. And here it's like, hey, here you go. Here's your fanfold, as we would say in the tanker world, to go out and read it and do what this says. You know what? By the way, there's some really good to do's, but there's a lot of great don't do's. Isn't that what you would say too?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, one of the things I wrote in chapter one is, I want you to consider this your checklist, but unlike a checklist that we're used to following, you know, in the air, you don't necessarily have to do this checklist in order. There's several steps you can be doing simultaneously, and there's no right or wrong way. It's really just about breaking the information down into bite-sized, digestible chunks that people can handle at any given time, and educating them about the entire process.
What I liked about it the most after reading the book is realizing that for the first few years in the Air Force, a lot of people are really, they're nervous or reluctant to ask questions and get the kind of information. That's the kind of stuff that happens in the bar or, you know, buddy to buddy, kind of off the grid. And so as you're trying to figure out what questions to even ask, you're afraid of showing your cards or not being true to, you know, the company or the Air Force or whatever job you happen to be in. What I really like about what you've put together with this project is you just lay all that information out there. from your personal experience. And what you do with that information is up to the reader. It doesn't impact your Air Force career negatively. It doesn't indicate that you're going to be leaving for the airlines as soon as you can. It doesn't say anything about your intentions. All it does is give you information.
Right.
And that's what TPN has been about from the start.
Yeah, and I'm not here to tell people to leave the military. You know, that right. may not be right for their situation.
You did 20 years and retired. You're not even,
sure. Yeah,
your experience wasn't even a palace chase scenario. So
no, yeah. Exactly. You know, I just want them to have the information so that when they do, because they won't be in the military forever, when they do decide to leave the military at whatever point that is, whether it be their min commitment or, you know, 25, 30 years, at least they will have that information at their disposal.
So I guess, Mark, now that everybody's sufficiently teased and interested, you don't have to nail down an exact date, obviously, because we know how, well, not everybody knows, but publishing is not the easiest of things. You can ask Matt and I a little bit about that in a different format, but we understand it 100%. When do you expect the book to be released? And is there other stuff coming out with Cockpit to Cockpit, the book, that might take the reader that extra step?
Well, sure. I can ask. I can talk to that a little bit. I don't have a set release date yet because of the publishing issues you talked about. However, knowing where I'm at in the process, my best estimate is this will be out by the back half of October. Maybe earlier than that, but I would certainly say by the end of October, this book will be available.
No, Mark, I was just going to say, basically what you're doing is you are building in the perfect Christmas gift.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it makes a great gift for newly-wing military aviators or the pilot in your life. Thank you for that marketing. Well,
and it was hilarious, too. When I was reading it the whole time, I was texting you back and forth, just laughing my ass off. It was.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was. there were some pretty good little anecdotes in there. For the listeners, so you've been a TPN member for about how long now?
About 6 months.
Okay, cool. So when you started writing this book, obviously, before you even got involved with TPN and found us, correct?
Yeah, let me just spill the beans and tell you how that all happened. I wrote the book and handed it to a friend and said, hey, can you please read this? Because he was going through the transition process. And he said, wow, this is really good stuff. But, you know, in your networking section, you don't talk about the pilot network. I was like, the who? And amazingly, I think I don't know how we get that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as soon as I did research you guys, I realized, wow, that was when you immediately got the email from me. And I said, I've got to get in touch with these guys because we obviously have a common mission in life.
Right. So as soon as I got your email, essentially what we recognized, Adam and I recognized right away, that what you were doing was filling a need, a requirement that none of the interview prep or programs out there or forums or websites or anything like that, it just wasn't covering at the time. And the pilot network is trying to catch people up and those sorts of questions. But you were answering a lot of those questions that members are asking day in, day out. And I think we immediately recognized it as a resource. And that's why one of the things we wanted to do was partner with you early on, because there are over 8,000 members of TPN, many of which have been hired, but a lot of which are still trying to figure out and ask these sorts of questions. And we thought it'd be a great resource. I don't know if it's too early, but one of the projects that we're working on is kind of an online course that walks you through the steps of the book in a little bit more in depth and things like that. So depending on how you learn, there's going to be a lot of different ways to consume this content. And one of the things the Pilot Network is really trying to develop into is a place for members to reach out and pay it forward to other members. And we've been really impressed with this project and how you've done that so far. And we just want to thank you for your participation and what you're doing for other pilots.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Adam asked me about that a second ago, and I kind of got sidetracked and forgot to talk about that. But excited to be working with the Pilot Network on this digital online learning course. So our members, your members, can look forward to seeing that on thepilotnetwork.org in the near future as well. So taking this book up to the next level.
Mark, you were right the first time. It's our members. It's our network. Yep. This is what we do together as a team, because when I went through this as a youngin', and I learned through much trial and error and a lot of osmosis how to get to where I was today, some of it was accidental, some of it was luck, I realized that it's not an individual who keeps going through this. It's this swath, this giant group of people, professional aviators, whether you were God's gift, Mr. F-22, Top Gun, F-18 guy, you're a tanker toad mindset like myself, you're Mr. Line Check Airman at ExpressJet after 3 years, or you're an FO at Envoy after 15. It doesn't matter. We're all in this together. We're all pretty similar. We've all been through the same struggle one way or another, whether it's been deployed half of our career, whether it's on the road half of our career. It doesn't matter. We all kind of go through this together. And the nicest part about all this is when we get to work together and pay it forward to the guy who isn't even a pilot yet, who hasn't even thought about being a pilot yet because he's 14 and he thinks the sophomore girl is cute and he's a freshman. Someday he's going to be in our shoes, and I don't want that guy to have to deal with the same BS that we've done, the kiss the ring, the work through all this pain in the ass. You know what people say, and it's really funny to me, because most people who listen to this podcast or are on TPN know that I may have a side gig that works with some of this stuff. And one of the things with that gig is I hear complaints about money. Man, I got to pay this. I got to buy this and that and the other thing. Well, if you're getting any job interview with a Fortune 500 company, I hope you at least buy a new suit. And I hope that suit looks pretty sharp. Right. And I hope that you would pay it enough mind to work very diligently on prepping yourself to go into that interview, whatever the interview might be for whomever it might be. I mean, you go out and get your master's in business administration or whatever to get that job. And the way I look at all this is, we are trying to figure out a way to not do that anymore. We're trying to condense it down to this is the minimum amount you've got to put in effort-wise. We are making this pilot-friendly beyond anything that's ever been seen before. I'm glad that I'm getting a chance to do it out front and be one of the people that are involved in this kind of new process. And Mark, I don't think Matt and I can tell you how thankful we are that you joined us tonight. I guess the last thing that we need to let our kind of listenership, is that Matt, is that what you would call
who? Yeah, I think that's a good word.
Listenership. Okay, I think I made that one. If I didn't, I'm sure somebody else has said it before. Let's say they want to get a hold of you. How do we get a hold of you? You said the website's under construction.
Anyone can email me at Mark. That's Mark with a C. Dot Himmelho. I'll spell that one for you. HIMELHOCH at cockpit. To cockpit.com, and that's the number two, cockpit, the number two, cockpit.com. Also, my website, www.cockpit2cockpit.com. I've put all my effort so far into getting this book published, and now that it's finally within a couple weeks of being published, and as soon as we end these interview questions, I'm going to start looking at Matt, and we're going to talk website, and we're going to talk Facebook, because that is the next step, is to get my social media presence up and running.
Sure. Cool. And Adam, where can they get a hold of us?
Well, let's start out with where they can always find us, www.thepilotnetwork.org. That's how you're going to get into the Facebook group. That's how you're going to check out all the cool stuff that's being posted by the membership out there. But if you want to get a hold of us directly, it's heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org. In fact, let's throw it out there right now, Matt. If you have an idea for a podcast that you want aired, questions that you have that you're dying to get answered, you're too afraid to even post on TPN, which you shouldn't be, why don't you send it to heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org, and we will see what we can do. Maybe we can get you on as a guest speaker, as maybe our guest, and then we can answer your questions directly. So don't hesitate. Shoot us an email. Again, that's heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org. Or come visit us on one of the many platforms that are out there.
Sure. And please consider supporting us on patreon.com/thepilotnetwork.
Mark, thanks again for joining us so last minute. And it's just wonderful to have somebody who's looking out for the guy coming up, because that's what we're all about.
Well, I thank you. And I thank Matt for, you know, founding this thing, because there are just thousands of pilots out there who needed this service, and you guys have filled that void, and I hope to help in any way that I can add to that quality product.
Until next time, everybody, fly safe.